I think the main thing is just copping it on the chin and being like, okay, made a mistake, punishment's big, just cop it, don't play a victim or anything.
Perspective. Collingwood footballer Josh Thomas has it. And he got it the hard way. A 2-year ban in early 2015 after inadvertently taking a performance-enhancing substance during a night out with mates, forcing him down an unintended path. But as you're about to hear, Josh Thomas has emerged from this saga, both a better footballer and a better person. With Collingwood's Josh Thomas in this edition of In The Game. Josh, for a 27-year-old, you've jammed a lot into what's a 70-game career as we talk today.
Absolutely, yeah. Sort of been in the system for, I think, 10 years or so. So it's been a journey. Plenty of ups, plenty of downs, but I guess everyone's got their story and would have liked to have probably played a few more games, but there's obviously been a few mitigating circumstances, a bit of an injury early, which probably doesn't get touched on as much. But, I'm absolutely wrapped to still be on the list at Collingwood. Love the place, and, you know, the average, I guess, career is sort of 3 or 4 years. So to play 70 games is sort of a great honour to get there. Not many players do. So hasn't gone smoothly, but, you know, hopefully there's still plenty of good ones ahead.
Yeah, it has got lost, hasn't it? The 3 years you missed even before you played your first game. You were drafted in 2009, and it took until 2013 to play that first game. So feet problems were the issue back then?
Yeah. So as you said, coming in sort of 2010 was my first year, and we won the flag that year. So sort of thought we'd win one every year. Thought it was pretty easy, but so I didn't play that year. Played a bit of AFL though, and was going okay. And so the next 2 years, I got a stress fracture in my foot, which took the full 2 years to get right, 3 or 4 surgeries, and pretty much wiped out those 2 years. And then played round one 2013, so started my fourth year. And so that was just a bit of a battle just even to get there. I didn't play even any NAB/JLT through those 3 years either, so I hadn't been exposed whatsoever. That's where it all began, and then was able to string a few games through the middle of my career, and then obviously 2 years out. So.
Yeah. Still some famous Collingwood names on the list that were there when you got there. Pendlebury, Goldsack, Beams, who's returned, Reed and side bottom. So when you throw your name into that mix, it does, I think, give people an understanding that you have been there for the journey, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We did something at the club last year where I think we interviewed a few of the guys that were on the list in 2010 and played, and then I was sort of reflecting on it, and I think it was four or five guys that were on the list, then me, but all the other guys had played in the flag. And I was the only one on the list that hadn't. So, I've certainly been around the place for a long time. Had 2 years under Mick, which was an awesome experience because he's obviously a legend of the game and a revered figure, I guess. So to have, even though I didn't play under him, just to get 2 years of experience, and then Bucks came in, and he's probably been the mainstays coach for me, and he's been awesome. And so it's been a bit of a weird journey, but I'm still here, and that's the main thing, I guess.
Yeah, and even just hearing you refer to the multi-house years there, obviously your first 2 years in the AFL system were grand final years for Collingwood Footy Club. It took until last year to get back there, and even just in this relatively tight confines of 2010 to 2018, there's a lot going on in your club as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I suppose, it's sort of different little eras, I guess, in that short space of time. Like you had the Mick, I guess, a year old where we were really successful. Probably should have won back-to-back grand finals. We had a young list in 2010. And we were really dominant through 2011 and should have won, really, being full credit to Geelong. But, I think looking back, we were probably the best team for the majority of the year. And then obviously Bucks came in. There was a lot of publicity around that. And we sort of transitioned into a new era. A lot of players left, a lot of premiership players, a lot of guys who were had really successful careers, won premierships. There's a lot of turnover of staff as well. And I think it took Bucks probably a few years to settle in and just shape probably the list and the club of how it is now. Mm-hmm. And that maybe took, you know, that 3 or 4 year period where we were sort of just, you know, we didn't bottom out per se, but we weren't really challenging. And I think finally last year we sort of got it all together. So,
yeah. As you sit here today into this 2019 season, Josh, how do you see yourself? Are you still the young kid who set out back in 2009 when you got drafted in your own eyes, or are you the now seasoned veteran that has had 10 years in the system and obviously been through a lot?
It's strange because, well, I think I look pretty young as well. So I think a lot of people, and I haven't played that many games, and I don't have an enormous profile. So I think people probably think I'm a bit younger than what I am. But, yeah, I mean, obviously when I reflect on my time in the system, especially now around the club, there's not that many people or not that many players that, you know, were on the list back then, so three or four, whatever we just went through. So when you look at it like that, you know, there's – I sort of have to look at myself as a bit of a senior player. But, yeah, I mean, I've certainly, you know, like any other player, evolved both on and off the field through that journey. But probably this year, after last year, I feel a little bit more established, I guess, playing every game last year. And, you know, it's not really time in the system. It's playing consistent footy, being out there, having a little bit of success that you start to probably believe yourself that, you know, you actually belong, because that's half the battle.
Yeah. And you're there now? The belonging is there?
Oh, I don't think you're ever fully there. And you've got to play with that attitude of you're not established. And I mean, one half decent year doesn't really prove much. But I guess, maybe it's credits in the bank. I don't know what the best term is. But just, you know, a belief that you have actually played some okay footy and you can. You know, if you things get a bit rocky with your form, you can go back to something and be like, okay, just come back to these three or four things. You've done it before. And I think that's, as I said, a bit of, it is half the battle, just getting the confidence to, you know, I guess I also had to do it twice. You come in and as a young player, and then you sort of get established, and then 2 years out, I had to build it back again. Mm. That probably took me a year. But now I guess, yeah, that I feel like I'm, established is the wrong word, but I feel like I belong at AFL level. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's taken the full 10 years in your story. Yep. Yeah. Josh, I don't want to labour this chat today with what happened in basically from February 2015 and what came as a result of it, but we can't talk to you without, I suppose, establishing the learnings out of it. When you now encapsulate the learnings out of it, what is it that's most prominent in your mind now?
Oh, there's a lot. And they're not – some are footy-related, some are just life-related, I guess. But I guess the overarching thing is just probably taking things for granted a little bit. That has a lot of sort of connotations, but I guess the main thing is just, you know, the opportunity to play AFL footy, had a good club. It was all there for me, and just, you know, I copped a big punishment for something that was probably not exactly that straightforward, but – I still, at the end of the day, had to take responsibility for my own actions. And I guess the whole transition through that was probably more the learning as opposed to just the punishment.
Right.
So the punishment itself, but then going back, having to be out of footy, sort of scrap over a long period of time, sort of 2 years. So, and, you know, every day where you weren't getting any feedback, any reward short term, it was all maybe we'll get back and maybe we'll play a game one day. And, you know, there was nothing guaranteed. It was just a scrap and a maybe. And
yeah, because you didn't have the body of work behind you at that stage, did you? And that would have also been part of the thought processes around what you were going through, I dare say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always felt the club with me and Lockie always, I mean, I don't think they would have taken us back if they didn't have some opinion of us as both people and footballers. So there was an element of, the club wants us to come back. I guess that helped, but there was a lot of unknown and I hadn't established myself and neither had Lockie really, as, you know, I think I'd played 32 games maybe, some good ones, some average ones and probably a few poor ones. So, you know, I certainly wasn't an established AFL player. I was 23 at the time. It was just a lot of life lessons, a lot of figuring out of what did I do wrong. And I think the main thing is just copping it on the chin and being like, okay, made a mistake, punishment's big, just cop it, don't play a victim or anything. What can I control? What can we control? Which is just working hard, sort of bum down, head down, bum up. And that's what we basically did for 2 years. came back in, and the club like took us back in straight away. They've been amazing, and everyone from the players to the staff to Bucks, and so we always sort of felt supported. And yeah, and then once I guess we came back in, it was just about it was just about transitioning back into footy, because 2 years out is a seriously long time. Like it really is. So.
Who did you seek most counsel from at that stage?
In a way, it was lucky because I had Lockie. So obviously, you don't want it to happen to anyone else. But the fact that we were pretty close and we were both from Queensland, Brisbane, so we went back there together, similar age, mates. There was just a lot of crossover there that we had already. That made it a lot easier. We trained together, everything. So that definitely helped. Yeah, and then I guess like just from a footy point of view, we didn't have that much contact with the club.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to, were you?
Yeah, it was quite murky, but that's best just to sort of avoid it for the majority. And I guess it's just all the people that you like. I have my girlfriend stayed in Melbourne, so I did basically nearly 2 years long distance. But you know, obviously she's been a massive support, and your family, and got a lot of schoolmates back up in Brisbane, which I guess was one of the positives to sort of reconnect with those guys I hadn't seen and well, I hadn't been close with on a day-to-day basis for 4 or 5 years. And so, yeah, just all the logical people helped me through it. But I guess a lot of it had to come from just me and Locke wanting to get back. So.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there a moment ago, the acceptance of what you did. And while I don't think anyone thought it was the right penalty, but ultimately under the rules, that was what was at play. But was it just accepting that, and the earlier you could accept that was the key to what you ultimately got through?
I think so, definitely. Like if I had a dollar for everyone that come up to me in that period and said, "Oh, geez, you're stiff," I probably wouldn't need to come back and play footy. But maybe it was stiff, but
they're the rules.
Ultimately, they're the rules, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I think even as a lesson, like people are a lot more accepting if you just say, "All right, mucked up." Copy punishment and come back better, having learned the lessons, than what really else is there to go on about. That's it.
Yep. And again, don't want to go the specifics because I know you've addressed these on other platforms about what you did in that time frame to get money, I suppose. There was, though, a story that's not as well told as maybe the Uber story. You drove an Uber there for a while, but the garlic factory story, would you mind just relaying the experience there when it was early days and in the suspension?
Yeah, not sure where you got this one from, but basically I just had in my head when I went back to Brisbane that I wanted to do a job that was just go to work, get paid, come home, don't have to think. My mum and my brother work at a factory, or my brother was at uni working in a factory, but my mum works, she's worked there for like 12 years where they print the Kiri Mail. They get paid pretty well. It's pretty like just go. You might work 20 hours a week, but get paid okay because it's shift work. And that was sort of what I had in my mind. So anyway, I ended up getting this job at a garlic bread factory, which I thought was along those lines, but it turned out it was tough. It was just on a line with, I guess, the garlic bread comes out and it gets sprayed with the garlic and packaged up and all that. And it was hard work, low pay, in a factory, no sunlight. It was quite eye-opening, and I don't really like talking about it because I sort of feel like, geez, that's reality for a lot of people, and it feels a bit like, I guess, precious. So I don't know what the right word is, but it was eye-opening, and I just thought that, it probably wasn't the driving Ubers was a bit easier. Best way to put it.
And again, it was a contrast of life, wasn't it, for you? I mean, you go to what you've now been through and 100,000 people at the MCG to where you were at that moment. I mean, that's a contrast in life for anyone, isn't it?
Massively, yeah. Yeah, it is. And as I sort of touched on before, like just that it takes those experiences. It's all well and good to say, you know, you appreciate playing footy and that, but it probably does sometimes just take that massive contrast or that, like an experience like that to fully sink in. So, as I said, there's a lot of positives that come from those 2 years.
Without wanting to pat yourself on the back, Josh, but I haven't spoken to one person who has had anything to do with you who hasn't spoken glowingly of you. Do you allow yourself now the right to say, I handled this pretty well?
Probably, I guess, like in the sense that, like I remember coming back playing my first game in 2017 was a big moment.
That would have been.
Yeah. So that, because I didn't really feel like getting back was enough. Like we sort of pretty early on had worked out with Collingwood that we probably they'd take us in the rookie draft, and you know, but getting back and playing an AFL game would sort of close
it's a big step. You don't get them gifted, do you?
No, exactly. So to sort of close the book on that. That was a big step, and then
three years after your previous game, effectively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think I've actually played every game since then. So, you know, I didn't expect that at the time, but upon reflection, obviously, with last year, with the grand final and just everything that's happened at the footy club, and like last year was just so enjoyable to come in and go to work, so to speak. So, yeah, you do have times like over the off season reflecting on 5 points off or 6 points or whatever it was off a grand final premiership to where I was only like sort of 18 months before that. You do have those times, and just reflecting on like how tough those periods were, and I'm a long way from it now, but it is nice sometimes just to reflect and remind yourself. Mm. Yeah,
again, you wouldn't have gone through it by choice, but are you better balanced? Are you a better person for it?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, I think if you ask people close to me, people at the footy club that were close to me, and there's probably been some change. I'd say the closer you are with me, possibly the less change there would have been. Like it's probably, I just had to like, it's just straightened me up a little bit. It was always there, I guess, the path that I'm on now, that I'm on a drastically different path, but I'm probably just the person that I always was.
Going to get to be.
Yeah, exactly. It just fast tracked a lot of things, and as any, you know, sort of big, profound experience does to anyone. Yeah. So yeah, I think it just fast tracked it all, and you know, I would have probably ended up pretty similar.
Sure.
At some point, but it's definitely fast tracked, and I guess I am balanced, and I'm really enjoying footy, enjoy my stuff away from footy, and so all of that sort of come together really nicely.
Yep. One more on it, Josh, and don't delve into a detailed answer if you don't want to, but the fact that you were detected under the performance enhancing code for an illicit substance, do you now have a view on the AFL system with the illicit drugs policy lined up against the WADA/ASADA situation, given what you've been through and that you were unfortunately named and shamed, but have come through it the way you have, and as you were saying, better for it even? Do you have a view on that? And again, I don't want you to answer that if you don't want to, but just it's lining up the two policies, having lived it the way you have.
I don't have a strong view, to be honest, which might sound strange, but both policies are obviously very different, and there's clearly an extremely small chance that there's some crossover. But they each are there for a certain purpose, and they like the WADA thing has to be there. No one agrees with performance enhancing drugs, obviously. The illicit one is a very complicated issue in society, not just footy. No one's got the answer to that, I don't think. And I just think there's obviously a, before me and Lockie, an unprecedented small chance of them crossing over. So I guess now for players, it's on the table. People are probably now more aware, our players are more aware of it. Whether that's changed behaviours or not, I'm obviously not really that sure. But it certainly, I think, had to happen before any player would be like, okay, there is crossover.
Sure.
So, yeah. And now with the 4 years, I guess, two maybe you can come back from. But four
is different, isn't it?
You go on. So,
yeah.
I mean, common sense would probably just be don't touch it, but I know it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You go through to, as you say, you came back in 2017, played the closing matches of that season, and then a full quota last year where you kicked 38 goals in a year that fell 5 points short of a premiership. You must have been pretty proud of just the football that you displayed yourself personally last year.
Yeah, I was, I guess, because the back end of 17 was... Well, I mean, the first half of 17, the VFL was nothing to write home about, that's for sure. And then sort of the middle part, I got going a little bit, and then things probably fell my way a bit, and I got a chance to play in about round 15, I think. So, and even the last 9 games, I mean, I was okay, but nothing amazing. And, yeah, I guess to get the pre-season under my belt again, coming into 18, and then... Play all the games, and I always felt that I could play, and I guess the club had backed me, and it'd been a long journey to probably just repay that faith, and just for my own, for myself and everyone who'd supported me, just to actually have some success was probably nice to sort of, yeah, I guess reward for everything that, yeah. that happened. And
was it the Carlton game, round three, when you kicked the bag of five? And I know yeah. you kicked four on two other occasions last year, but yep. was it that first bag that you managed to secure to allow you to sell, to think that you're okay in that level and could make a real fist of it?
Probably. I think prior to my ban, I'd played as a mid/half forward, but a lot of midfield time, whereas through the last nine games of 17, I was pretty much predominantly a forward. And then coming into 18, I was really, like the Bucks had set me to that role as a high half forward. And so I didn't have too much, it's a completely different position to the midfield. So it's not even really about kicking goals, although that's nice. You know, there's a whole role that you have to play there defensively and offensively, and it's not all about kicking goals. But obviously if you kick five, you feel like, okay, that's, you know, that is some rule, that is some, I guess, that is some evidence that you can play at the level, yeah. albeit at Carlton weren't, they yeah. only won a couple of games, and you've got to keep it all in context and not get ahead of yourself. And that was probably the challenge, is like, okay, you played a decent game, everyone can play one, but the consistency is the main thing. And
well, if you say that, you then kick four against, at that stage, the raging premiership favourite Richmond late in the season as yep. well. So you then done it against the good yeah. team. Was that maybe even a more pronounced yeah. moment for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, like you always want to benchmark yourself against the better teams. And I guess just as like being a forward, it's actually hard to control that a lot. So like that's what you have to come to terms with. You can turn up in the same spots one week and kick five. You can turn up the next week and get five kicks.
Yeah,
that's just sort of high half forward is a tough. It's not a tough position as far as, you know, the midfield's brutal, but it's there's a lot of things that have to go right in between you and your next possession.
Yeah.
And that's just coming to terms with that. So, and last year as a team, if you look at the spread of goal kickers, that was like, okay, this week wasn't my week to kick goals, but we'll kick five, Geordie kick four, Jaden, whoever it was. So that became our strength. And so you just knew if you had a down week as far as goals, well, next week more than likely could be my week. So yep. that's basically what became our strength as a four, six or seven.
Cox again. Hoskin Elliott in the mix. They're scouting again. Brown, here's Thomas for number four. Oh, you're going to be judging. He's put it through, Thomas. Four goals. Stunning performance yet again.
Were you proud of the club as well, Josh, in the way 2018 unfolded, given the pressure that was on so many people? It's yourself, obviously, what we've discussed already, the coach going into that unknown season, despite an extra contract before it started, but players also who hadn't at that stage shown their true potential. Were you proud as a collective?
Absolutely, yeah. Sort of being there from the transition from the premiership and the grand final in 10 and 11 to sort of that middle period of being sort of in the abyss a little bit from a footy perspective. And then, yeah, I guess we didn't, from 17 to 18, I don't think we basically changed the list hardly at all, apart from the draftees. I think we turned over three or four players max. It wasn't any big name players that came in. So same personnel. And I guess we always felt like we were underachieving a little bit, like we had more talent than that. And obviously talent only gets you so far, but for Bucks to go through that stress and the pressure and everything was on the footy club as well as an extension of that through the back end of 17, and then for the club to back him in, and you know, like the players always were sort of like behind Bucks to stay. We always, I think almost all the players would have said they wanted Bucks to stay. So, and then to actually get the reward, yeah, there's no doubt that, and to do it in a way, as I said earlier, though, it was enjoyable. Like yeah. it's success, and then there's like you actually enjoying coming into work, and yeah, like it seems like it should be sustainable because it wasn't just an out of the box thing. I think there's a lot of things that changed and changed for the better.
So. Yeah, the level headed nature to which you clearly carry yourself, Josh. Too, you don't celebrate a goal, do you? You're not one to be waving arms around or revving the crowd up. Have you ever celebrated? Because I can't recall you doing last year anyway, and you don't seem to be that natured.
I pretty much have one celebration, and it's just a come on with a fist pump, and that's. I think I'm probably lucky the cameras don't flash. I just miss the cameras, sort of thing. So, but yeah, no, I've never been a big celebrator, and I don't know why. Maybe I should celebrate a bit more. But yeah, it's just been, I'm usually probably too exhausted as well, so yeah, just not part of my personality really.
You mentioned earlier on in this chat that you look young, and clearly you've got a look alike at the footy club too, and someone who gets confused for you and vice versa in Jamie Elliott, without the ink work.
Well, it is strange because, well, Jamie's been at the club nearly as long as I have, maybe a year less, but... And I'll admit he does look a little bit like me, but I think the two sleeves should sort of give it away, but apparently not. So I'll still, you know, if we're at a function or something with the club, I've signed a few Jamie Elliott's along the way, just to make it easier.
If you're in long sleeves, I don't know. Is that how it works?
What's that?
If you're wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Yeah. So it's just strange, but it happens all the time, so just got to roll with it.
The boy band look, is that something down the track or...?
I'll try to get away from the boy band look with my haircuts on. I used to have it pretty short on the sides, and I've tried to sort of straighten that up a bit. But, yeah, I still look 21. I haven't aged in 5 years for some reason.
Despite what you've been through.
Yeah, exactly. That is strange.
You touched on Lachie Keith before, and I know he's a really close friend as to what you've been through, and it's been important for you. Are you wrapped for him too, to see him still in the system?
Yeah, absolutely. That was probably the other part of the story when I came back, and, you know, there was a lot of sort of, I guess, attention when I played, and, you know, the feel-good story. But at the same time, Lachie was still batting away in the VFL, and he was playing forward, and he had, like, some pretty tough challenges that I didn't know, like changing positions. Played back pretty much his whole career before that. So, yeah, and then obviously ended up getting delisted, which was disappointing. And then when GWS threw him a lifeline, it was good. But as I said, it's playing that game, and I knew how much it meant to me. Mm. So when I saw him play, it was like, I know he'll be able to close the sort of, well, shut the book, that's it. I came back, I played.
Did it. Yeah. Well, him playing it, shut your book.
He's never said that to me, but that's how I felt. So I assume that it was for him. And now I think he's strung sort of 12 or 15 since. I think he played his 50th on the weekend. So, I'm sure that, you know, if he can string some consistent footy together, he's still got a few good years in him for sure.
Mm. Outside of footy, Josh, I know you've put some time and serious time into some studies. Can you just take us through what it is you have gone down the path of in that space?
I'm just doing Bachelor of Business, majoring in Accounting and Finance at Monash. I guess going back to the ban, that was one of the things where you sort of get, you have a job one day and you basically don't have one the next. So I always sort of knew roughly what I wanted to do, but I was able to study full time basically through that period. Just really it makes you think about exactly what you want to do because it brings it to the forefront of your mind. So,
How far away are you from completing that now, the way you want to
complete? I'm finishing end of next year.
That's huge.
Yeah, so that's big to, because I've got another year or two after that on my contract. So I'll know another year after that, sorry. And so just knowing that I guess I can at least leave the game with a degree and sort of start. I've done a few little internship thingies and just to get some work experience and spend a lot of my spare time researching and obviously doing uni, but just, yeah, it's something I'm super interested in. And again...
In just business in general?
Yeah. Yeah, investing, I guess. So that would help probably put it like, I guess everyone's interested in investing.
In making money.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the difference being... I just professionally want to do it professionally post footy, so obviously that comes back to the study and obviously a lot of guys at the club like get into the share market and stuff, and they'll be like, oh, have a look at this stock, and it'll be like a lithium miner in Argentina or something, and it's like, well, geez,
leave that.
I'm not sure I can provide much, sorry, but
so they're coming to you for advice, are they?
Yeah, some do.
Do you like that?
It's dangerous. Yeah. I just know how complicated it is, and I think it's a classic. You just don't know what you don't know in that space, and it's very easy to get involved in it. But, yeah, if it was that easy, everyone would do it. So trying to sort of, I guess, as I said, do it. If I want to do it professionally, you got to go about it the right way. So, yeah.
Who's the tightest with their money in that space or any space?
Tight would be for your Brody Grundys of the world. He's very interested, actually, but he's very conservative. Then you have the other guys that would probably put 20,000 into a 4-cent stock. So, but you know, it's as I said, everyone's interested in it, like whether that be property or shares, you know. But there's a few risks that get taken, which I sort of question. But
the lure of the big one.
What's that?
Because of the lure.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got your foot in the water of a development up north, is that right, as well?
I bought a house like 2014 up there. It was what they call split a block, so I knocked the house down, built two houses, so had to put that in pause, obviously, for a few years there. But yeah, I'm sort of building them now. So that's interesting. I like that. It's part of investing, but main interest is sort of the stock market.
Yep. Do you consume footy, Josh?
I do. Yeah, like I'll watch 2 to 3 games a weekend.
For interest or because you need to as a professional?
Nah, just out of interest, yeah. Certainly not a footy head by any stretch, as the term goes, but just genuinely like watching 2 to 3 games a week and the odd footy show. But yeah, purely just entertainment, to be honest. Maybe if we're playing a team, I'll take specific sort of interest that week if they're on. But yeah, I just – even when I was in my band, I'd watch 2 to 3 games.
You would?
Yeah, I just sort of – to a point, 2 to 3 is fine. I'm not obsessed with it. Like it doesn't – some guys are just right into it.
Yeah.
And that's not me, but yeah, 2 to 3 is fine.
What else you do to clear the head and get away from it?
Unfortunately, it's just a lot of study.
Yeah.
But I genuinely do enjoy that. Sounds weird, but I've got that – I sort of touched on it before, but like that balance. I've got a pretty good routine. I don't really play golf or anything like that. I'll just go to uni and obviously just hang out with my girlfriend. I've got a few mates down here now that have moved down from Brisbane that don't play footy. So it's nice to catch up with them. They're our schoolmates. Like we just talk about different stuff, obviously. Got some good mates at the club still that, you know, you get your footy sort of, we talk about stuff at the club. And so it's a really good mix, I think.
And you're able to get away if you're well-organised, aren't you, from a footy club in 2019, aren't you? It's well-structured. If you're not injured and you don't need to be around the place, you can get out, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. No, there is a lot of spare time. Time which probably should be utilised maybe a bit better sometimes, I think. But, there's no doubt there's plenty of time to get away. But there is a lot of pressure, so you sort of do need it. And, you know, some players go surfing. It doesn't matter what it is, but, you need to get that off-field right. Otherwise, the on-field is affected, no doubt.
Have you spoken to Sam Murray, Josh, given what he's been through and the parallels with yourself and Lockie?
When it happened, I flicked him a text, like, 24 hours after, just sort of saying, hope you're doing all right. It won't seem like it now, but like it'll turn out all right in the end. So just sort of keep your head up. We had a few messages back and forth, and we were going to catch up, but it was right around final. I think it happened like around 23, maybe
thereabouts. Yeah.
So we had finals and off season, and I actually haven't caught up with him. But I don't even know what's going on there. But all I could say is like I hope he's doing all right, and what will be, but you know, hopefully if you learn anything from me and Locke that, you know, you can get back possibly if you get 2 years or I don't know what's going to happen. But,
yeah.
So wish him the best.
And as we speak, it's still early in the 2019 season. Have you felt that the club, the Magpies, have gone from being the hunter as they were for a bit of last year to the hunted?
Yeah, it's very different, I guess, coming in off a grand final versus coming in off 13th. So,
yeah.
But in a good way, like we picked up – our form hasn't been great, but it's been a bit patchy. But last year, the first, call it half of the year, we're still figuring out exactly what it looked like, our best footy. And so
– now you know.
Now we just know. Yeah, like from day one of pre-season, you come in. There's been some tweaks, but personnel is largely the same. Game plan is largely the same. And it's now just about going out and executing it. And we haven't actually been able to do that super consistently. We played some good teams, but it is a lot easier just knowing – exactly what it's like and just having to worry about doing it rather than learning it.
Josh, I really appreciate your time today and your openness and how you've managed to attack what you were subjected to and have managed to get yourself up to, as we speak, beyond the 70 game mark of an AFL career, which is clearly going to reach 100, which I'd imagine will be another awaited milestone.
Yeah, no, that'll be huge. 100 took me a while, but hopefully I can get there.
Josh Thomas, thank you.
Cheers, Damon.